Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want you to see this. This is just, this is kind of where we're at, and I want to talk about it, kind of get a light perspective. But this is Bill O'Reilly from Fox News, the O'Reilly Factor or something like that. It's really tough for me to listen to him sometimes, but he, you know, this what he's about to say is just right in line with how it really is. And then we want to talk about what do we do with that as Christians? How do we respond to that as Americans? Listen to this. Watch it.
The threats to America grow. That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. In a provocation the White House has not seen since the Vietnam War, the Russian dictator Putin is trying to humiliate Barack Obama. Apparently, the Russians have now violated the 1987 missile treaty by testing a new type of cruise missile. Also, Putin continues to attack Ukraine as military units inside Russia are firing rockets into that besieged country. Want more? Russian allies continue to block the investigation of the downed Malaysian airliner shot out of the sky 2 weeks ago by Russian-made missiles. 298 human beings died, Putin directly responsible. But instead of pulling back, Putin continues to spit in our eye. He now says he'll restore relations with Castro's Cuba. Provocation off the chart. So today, President Obama imposed new sanctions on Russia.
Today, and building on the measures we announced 2 weeks ago, the United States is imposing new sanctions in key sectors of the Russian economy. Energy, arms, and finance. We're blocking the exports of specific goods and technologies to the Russian energy sector. We're expanding our sanctions to more Russian banks and defense companies. And we're formally suspending credit that encourages exports to Russia and financing for economic development projects in Russia.
The Cold War here again. Mr. Obama also saying Europe will impose more sanctions. But don't hold your breath on that. France continues to say it will send two warships to Russia in return for a boatload of cash, pardon the pun. The Europeans have acted cowardly in the face of Putin's aggression. Now, I have no beef with what the president did today other than to suggest that it should have been done months ago. And he should encourage American banks to stop taking credit card receipts from Russia. That would scorch the villain Putin, who so far has laughed at the sanctions. President Obama had to take the action today because all around him, things are going south in a hurry. In Israel, the fighting between Hamas and the Israelis continues. Hundreds are dead, and the USA is powerless to stop the carnage. There is no question Hamas is a terror group in business to wipe out Israel. The Palestinians are being held captive by Hamas. And once again, America can't do anything about it. In Iran, negotiations over nuclear weapons continue because the Obama administration has given that country nearly $3 billion to stay at the table. It bribed them. It's hard to believe that any meaningful deal will be reached about the nukes, although it's not impossible. In Iraq, intel reports say the ISIS army, a vicious offshoot of Al-Qaeda, is poised to attack Baghdad. These jihadists are murdering Christians in the streets and terrorizing much of that nation. President Obama has taken no action, none at all, against the ISIS army, even though they have been in business and building power for years. In Afghanistan, an inspector general's report says the Obama administration cannot account for 750,000 weapons given to Afghan forces. America simply does not know where those weapons are. And reports say the Taliban is making military gains throughout Afghanistan using some U.S. weaponry. In Libya, the USA has now closed its embassy in Tripoli and evacuated because security is so terrible there, as the jihadists continue to terrorize that country. In Colorado, Defense Intelligence Agency Director Lieutenant General Michael Flynn says the terrorist ideology behind Al-Qaeda is growing fast.
We use the term core Al-Qaeda, and I have been going against these guys for a long time. The core is the core belief that these individuals have.
And that's
have.
Not on the run.
It's not on the run. And that ideology is actually, it feels like it's exponentially growing.
And if that isn't frightening, nothing is. Finally, on the southern border, the chaos continues as U.S. authorities cannot stop the flow of illegal aliens into this country. President Obama says he'll take action after his summer vacation unilaterally, without congressional approval. Right now, we don't know what that action might be. And so you can see that on just about every front, there is danger to we the people. Terrorism is growing. There's a mini war in the Middle East. Iran will most likely get a nuclear weapon, and Putin is causing an enormous amount of trouble, pretty much unchecked. President Obama still has his supporters who spin the situation his way. But the facts prove Mr. Obama's foreign policy has failed dismally. There is no question that the jihadists want to attack America again and are growing in strength, so do the math. It is long past time for all Americans, liberals and conservatives, Republicans, independents and Democrats, to demand that the federal government admit failure and devise effective strategies to protect us and other innocent people around the world. When a villain like Putin, whose economy is on the brink of a recession, can humiliate the United States of America, something is terribly wrong. Talking Points is sounding the alarm, and all of us should take this very seriously.
This is so important, because what is the biblical perspective? We're fixing to go to a break, but what is the biblical perspective of this? Because that is a big list. That's big trouble and very frightening, as he says. But we're going to look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 when we get back. And we're also going to continue this conversation in our next program. So make sure you catch us after this break. But realize we're going to continue. This is going to take, you know, this is going to biblical perspective of this, because he's absolutely right. Think about this whole list of what is taking place right now. And sometimes you may just want to say, I want to bury my, you know, head in entertainment, or right. I think I'm going to go check out my Facebook. We have a lot to talk about that in the future. We really appreciate all of our
just look at our posts.
And so, wow, man, you know, Bill O'Reilly, you know, he the thing about this guy is he is, you know, he forces both sides of the issue. He doesn't let anybody get away with just being one-sided.
Yeah.
And he kind of dominates the conversation, but in that, what do we do with that as Christians? And it makes me think of what Jesus said. You know, Jesus, when you think about all these videos and cameras and satellites are focused on Israel. But I want to tell you about a part of Israel right there by Jerusalem. You go through the valley and up there on the particular hills called the Mount of Olives. Mm. It's outside the eastern gate of that city. And in Matthew 24, he writes about it, but it's verse 3. You know, Jesus is sitting back and we're talking to his disciples, and he's, you know, having a private moment with them. And they say, you know, can you tell us, what's it going to be like when you come back? You know, there's going to be some signs that, you know, what kind of signs are going to happen? And we're just going to begin in this. We only have a little moment to begin. So make sure you catch our next program so you can actually hear all this. And so I'm not going to talk about what Jesus said. You know, what is it going to be like? What are the signs? What's going to be happening in the world? What's it going to be like for us when you're going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a good thing to know.
Yeah.
And Jesus answered them, and I'm going to cover just a piece of the answer, but in our next program, I'm going to talk in detail about that. This is what he said. He said, watch out. He said, watch out that no one deceives you, before he starts dealing with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're wrong. And when you stand before the throne of God, deceived, you just know such thing as deceptive access to eternity in heaven. I mean, you have to actually know, you can't. Deception is not an excuse for a life lived against God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sad thing. But God removes those blinders. We make Jesus the Lord of our life when we get in the Word of God. He removes those blinders from our eyes. And he said, watch out that you're not deceived. He said, for many will be coming. Al-Qaeda and Buddha and Hindu.
The list goes on and on.
It's nonstop. Mm-hmm. And saying that they claim that they are the Messiah, that they are me, really, that they've come to save you. And he says, and they'll deceive many people. And what you're seeing right now, you're seeing a whole bunch of people in the world who are fighting religious wars, who believe they're fighting for their Messiah. That's what's going on. That's why you have secularists and people who maybe say they're a Christian, but really they're just agnostic. You can tell by their policies and procedures. They're going, these religious folks are causing problems. Let's just turn them in on each other and let's live our life outside of religion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's all go to hell. Right? That's what he's saying, right?
Yeah, right.
Because if you don't make Jesus, you don't find the real Messiah here. Yeah, it's very important. That's why we're talking about this. Make sure you catch us in the next hour because time's clicking. So he says, you know, many, so what you see is you actually have, you know, several different factions, but you look at Islam, they believe that Muhammad is their prophet, and all of a sudden their Messiah is going to come, maybe like the 12th Iman is going to come out of the hole in the ground in Mecca that they walk around. That's a hole, that black tent's over a hole that they're walking around. And visually, it's like, wow. But when you really think about it, it's like, oh. And so, and then it's, hmm. But then you go back to Matthew chapter 22, and you go, oh.
Yeah.
And you go down to India, and they have a million gods. Yeah. And they think that this, I don't know what the name of it is, but this elephant god. I mean, they go worship at this elephant, and they believe that this elephant's going to save them. The ant's going to save them. They believe the ant is an ant, some of the religions down there. And I'm not talking about the Christians there, but there's all different religions down there. But they really believe, that's what they believe. And so you have to be careful. You can't just jump in some religious bandwagon. He's saying, you got to understand, this is the sign. He said, what is the sign of your coming? So when you're looking at what's going right now, and time is running out, so you've got to catch us on our next program. But understand, when you look at what's going on right now, this should get you really excited, because these are we're getting close to the return of our Lord. Because I'm going to be talking about it. He says nation will rise against nation. I mean, think about it. Look what's happening today. You know, there's some Christians who are going, no, we need to have peace. We got to have peace. No, they'll say peace, peace, and then sudden destruction.
That's right.
That as long as you're not going to walk with God, you're not going to make the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life, you're not going to acknowledge Yeshua, Messiah, it's not going to be good. And so he said, watch out that you're not deceived. So by listening to the next program, make sure you catch us, watch us. Catch us at on CTN, WHBR, 24/7 on the radio. Go to VFNTV.com. You got to get this because you're going to have a great peace. And understand, these things must come to pass. That these are nothing but birthing pains. And if you've ever gone or watched, because we're all men, we just watched, you know, our wives go through birthing pains. Sorry, baby. It wasn't pretty. I mean, it was tough. And I'm watching my daughter right now. She's you know, edging up there. Beautiful.
Yeah.
But it produces something so beautiful. And right now, the earth is going through birth and pains, and I believe something awesome is about to be birthed on the face of the earth and possibly into eternity. We want to talk about, well, you just maybe, if you caught our last program, you need to go ahead and catch it, talking about where are we at? You know, what's the state of the union? That'd be good to have a state of the union right now. And it's sort of like you would say a state of the union. Bill O'Reilly talked about it on Fox News. You can see part of it. From our previous program, you go to VFNTV.com. But the things that he listed, the things that you're hearing talked about on VFNTV. And he sort of starts naming, you know, what's happening, the war over the Middle East, the increase of Al-Qaeda, that President Putin is humiliating the president, that he's shooting or violating the missiles agreement with
1987.
He's just doing these crazy things going on. He lists them on and on and on and on and on. Our borders are being flooded. That this ideologues of radical Islam is greatly increasing. I just saw on CBN News where, you know, France's multicultural experiment is crashing in on them.
Oh yes,
because they have certain Muslims, not all Muslims. We're just talking about these particular ones that are radicalized. That they went from France to fight in the Syrian war for jihad. And so this mother is talking about, my son, he was a good son, and he took care of his family and all this, but now he's a jihadist. And so he went to Syria, and so he's fighting over there. And then once he finishes fighting, he comes back to France with an ISIS flag.
Right.
And it's like, what do you do with this?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's too late now, France. I mean, at that point. You know, multicultural, you know, different, the differences in us is great, but you can't have 10,000 gods.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't work. I mean, look around.
Yeah, remember the UK saying that they need to teach British values again in their education system because it's being taken over.
Right. But once it's gone, it's gone. You know, they say once your borders are gone, then no nation's ever survived the breakdown of borders. And besides, if you really understand the greater goal of a lot of these people who are trying to organize the earth, you know, America used to be the highest achievement for, you know, people and leaders. It's like it's a stepping stone now for the stepping block for people who want to be world leaders now. Mm-hmm. And they see America as just one more step before you can become on the council of God or council of not God, but what they call us guys.
Oh, the elders.
The elders of the earth. It's like a bad movie. It's like a real bad movie.
Very bad movie.
But it's true. It's true. So George Soros, for example, wants to get rid of the borders. So you're seeing borders violated everywhere. This is definitely Chuck Pierce, I believe, gave a word about this is the time of fighting over borders. Maybe it was. No, it was Chuck Pierce. It's on BFN Torch under prophecies. And you're fighting for your borders, and America has to fight for theirs. Like France has obviously lost theirs, if you think about it. And they're fighting over Israel's borders and Gaza, Israel, West Bank, Egypt. And so this, like this, you know, it's frightening is what, that's the quote that Bill O'Reilly said, it's getting more frightening. And Bill O'Reilly saying it's getting frightening.
Right.
Frightening is not normal. But when Pat and I, and I think John was there too, with Congressman Jeff Miller, who's the one you're seeing now, it's dealing with the VA crisis and all that. He's the chairman.
Chairs that committee.
He chairs that committee on the VA. That his comments to us was, you're waiting for this intense wisdom that's going to just pour out. And he's a great, he's a good leader. He's a really good leader. And he's a praying man. And if you asked him who's Jesus to him, he would know who he is.
Yeah.
And he has a personal relationship with him, by the way. But he just told the truth like Bill O'Reilly did. He says, and he's talking about, we're talking about missiles in Central America and others places. And he goes, it's getting scarier, right? It's getting scarier and scarier. Like,
very profound.
Now, that's not the thing that I expected to come from. And what you have is you have a majority of folks in Washington going the wrong way. And so no matter how much your particular representative is for God and country, they're one vote, you know, in the midst of all that. But so what does this all mean? Well, it means we need to wake up. We can look at history. History is where, you know, that when World War II happened, America was caught by surprise. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. What's the movie?
Pearl Harbor.
But it's like all of a sudden, it was a surprise. The whole point of the thing is, I believe, was showing that they were going about their day-to-day life, and then suddenly, to their surprise, that we were attacked. And they were attacked by Japan. You know, it's just the mindsets that had a shift. Why would such a small country attack such a big country that even they themselves said we woke a giant?
Yeah.
And so when these things happen, they happen. You can't wrap your brain around them it's just something you're not expecting. But we can prepare for it. I mean, when the St. Louis was coming to the shores of America and the committees were voting whether they should receive these particular refugees because of what's happening with Hitler and all, you know, we turned them away.
Yeah.
We turned them away. Think about it. Could you imagine what that's going to look like in heaven when we turn a boat load of Jews away running from the persecution in Germany and Hitler, and a percentage of those ended up in the camps?
Yeah.
Wow.
And who took them in?
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republican took them in. And look at the Dominican. It's a blessed land. And today we're faced with refugees, people running from what these organizers are doing in the world right now all over the place.
Yeah, we can't even forget what Russia's been at this for a long time. And we think that, you know, in America we switch out leaders every 4 years. If they're reelected again, then 8 years. But he was in office when George W. President of Russia when George W. Bush was president. He took a minor break with Megadeth came in.
Megadeth.
The band?
No.
Putin's puppet?
Yeah, Putin's puppet. We'll make that related for you. But he's the one who says, I translate to Vladimir.
Right, he was
in charge the whole time. And now he's back again. So he's been there for quite a long while. And you're just seeing here in recent developments and in the news, I mean, the G20, summit. Where you have it's in Russia. The Olympics are in Russia. Mm-hmm. Here you have the president coming 45 minutes late of the United States to this mm-hmm. summit. Crimea.
Yes.
Ukraine. And now this Malaysian airline that's been shot out, it's being said the separatists in Russia, they're not being forthcoming with what's happening. It's like... the bear's in the water. You know what I'm saying? We got to pay attention. Something's happening here, and we got to deal with it. And we can't just turn it over. The Arab League was turned over to him, and now they're saying 170,000 people have died in Syria right now with the civil war. And they're reporting that the president now has backed off of, you know, wanting Assad to be removed. He turned everything over to Putin, just turned it completely over.
And which who doesn't want Assad to be removed?
Right, because they're allies with Syria, and Syria is connected with Iran.
There's a Russian base. Well, we're about to go to break, but when we come back, we want to be able to give a perspective of, okay, there's a lot of turmoil going on. There's a lot of difficult things going on. And if you have the faith to continue to look, and we try to deliver it to you in a way that you can be encouraged and understand that God's in control, there's a question that Jesus' disciples, if you look at Jerusalem, if you look at everybody's focused on Jerusalem and, you know, Israel, look outside the eastern gate of that city right there, and that little mountain over there is called the Mount of Olives. Jesus was sitting on that mountain talking about these days. And we're going to share with you an answer that Jesus gave to the question to his disciples that asked him, that said, you know, what will it be like? What will be the signs of your coming? So what would be the signs? This is what the disciples sitting on the Mount of Olives right across outside the eastern gate of Jerusalem, where everybody's looking at Israel now. And if you got your, what is the app called? The Israel Red Alert app. You know, you're hearing these missiles come down on top of where Jesus was mm-hmm. talking with his disciples, but the Iron Dome is stopping them. But this is the epicenter of what's going on. And so we're beginning to think, let's look back and see what Jesus was saying, because he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, which if you were standing on the Mount of Olives, you're looking at Jerusalem. You're looking at the Eastern Gate, and they say that he'll walk through the Eastern Gate. His feet, when he comes down, will land on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain will split. Mm. I mean, think about that. And so they're talking to him, having a private conversation with Jesus, his disciples were. And they said, listen, you know, what's going to be the sign? This is Matthew chapter 24, if you want to, you know, read a little bit later on. He said, what will be the signs of your coming? And a little quick preface here, I could say, like it's happening right now, you know. Mm-hmm. So what would be the sign of your coming? In other words, the Lord is going to come, just so you know this. This same Jesus that went up before the eyes of so many of the disciples to go sit at the right hand of the Father is going to come back. By the way, just so you know, he's first going to come and he's going to gather his church to be with him. Secondly, he's going to, after a period of time, he's going to come and he's going to write in Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, the present one. And then... I'm getting pretty deep in here. But anyway, he's going to come back. He's going to come back. And he's going to rule and reign, but he's going to come back for his church. So this same Jesus that we talk about, he's coming back. So what is the sign then of his coming? What's going to happen before this happens? And so Jesus said, first of all, he said in verse 4, he said, watch out that no one deceives you. There's so much deception today. If you, 81% of Christians in America that attend church on a regular basis don't even pick up their Bibles at all. Mm. You are like bait. You know, you're just bait for any deception. How are you going to know what a lie is if you don't even know the truth? And Jesus said, watch out that you're not deceived. And the very person that's talking to you could be deceiving you, and you can't verify it because you don't open your Bible. You don't pick it up and read it. And of the 19% that do read it, only 3% read it in a way like Jesus is talking about reading it here. Only 3%, which means the nation of America, the church in America, can be easily deceived. And so we got to say, you know what? I'm going to get in the Bible. I'm going to watch out that I'm going to be deceived, because I'm going to begin to abide with Jesus Christ today. Mm-hmm. And we have a simple plan for you. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org. And begin to watch out that you're not deceived. And then he says, you know, for many will come in my name claiming that I am, that they're me, that I'm the Messiah. They will say that. I mean, look about it. All these different folks that are around with these different religions. You see these religious wars going on. You know, one religious sect believes that their Savior is coming and has come or whatever. And they're fighting for that religious figure. And then which is their Messiah. You know, they would claim that that's the Messiah. And then another one's fighting that one because they're saying they're wrong, and they're waiting, or they believe that their Messiah has come or is coming. And then it's like, okay, wait a minute. There's only one Messiah, which means one of you or both of you or all of you outside one of you is right. And he's saying it's going to happen. So a lot of people are getting really frustrated with all these, you know, Messiah complexes out there and these false doctrines. And it's like, he said that's what's going to happen. We don't need to be worried about false doctrines. We need to be worried about true doctrine and start just talking the truth. And some are going to accept the truth and some are not. But if we don't tell them, how would they actually even accept it? So he says, watch out for that. That's going to happen. And he said, when they do this, many people are going to be deceived. Many are going to be deceived, which means what you think you're doing is right when you're wrong. You're fighting some jihadist war for what you think is your Messiah, and you think that you give your life on behalf of him, and you're going to instantly go to heaven. Isn't that going to be a crying eternal shame to find out that you were deceived? You know what I'm saying? It's going to be horrific. But at that point, once you die, it's over. You know, once you die, then the judgment. And so you got to make sure you're not deceived. You can't just buy into what other people are saying. You got to find out, you know, who is Jesus? So Jesus is telling, the Son of God is talking, this is what it's going to be like when I come back. He said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. In other words, you're going to turn on the news and you're going to see bombs landing in Gaza, bombs being shot into Israel. Mm-hmm. You're going to see stuff like what's going on in Syria and Iraq. You're going to see, you know, just all these different
Ukraine.
He said, this is going to happen. And you're going to turn on your news, and you're going to see signs of his coming. And then he says, but see to it that you're not alarmed. So many people feel guilty, a false sense of guilt, as if you're going to be able to stop war, that people are fighting. Like a mother that sees her children fighting. And it's like, if you raise them right and they're fighting, and you told them to stop, they don't stop. That's their fault, not your fault.
Right.
You may want them not to fight, but understand, they've got to choose to do what's right. Mm-hmm. And if you have nations fighting against nations, why would you carry the unnatural burden and think that maybe you're having a Messiah complex, that you're going to go there and you're going to solve this? And what you have is people who don't know God telling you that they do know God, telling you if you're a Christian, then you should be over. It's like, you don't even know who he is. He told me this is going to happen. He told me don't be alarmed. No alarm here. That's what he said. He said, don't be alarmed. He says, such things must happen, but the end is still to come. In other words, just because you're seeing this doesn't mean, hey, this is it. He's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
He says, such things must happen. Then he says, in verse 7, he said, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's very important. So you have one nation fighting another nation. You got Syria and all the multiple wars there. You got Russia fighting in the Ukraine and Ukraine fighting against Russia. You have just all these things going on. You have Afghanistan, you had Iraq, and just on and on. And he said, this is going to happen. And even when you think about nation, the word nation comes from the Greek word ethnos, which where we get the word ethnic group or race. So there's going to be people who don't know God who are going to be having racial battles just over race. They're fighting over race. And, you know, shades of the image and the likeness of God. Mm-hmm. The enemy's dividing people over that.
Right.
And that's going to happen. And you're like, oh, I don't want these race battles. And it's like, you know, Jesus is walking by the Samaritan woman and nobody had anything to do with her because of her. Samaritan means she had several different races and she wasn't a Jew. And
look what happened in Rwanda. I mean, that cleansing was horrible. And it was all race related.
Right. And so, and we don't want it to happen. We want to be able to pray that stop and provide humanitarian aid. But we got to understand that he told us these things are going to, he says, listen, he says, you know, these things must happen. And, but he also says in verse 8, after that, he goes, all of these are the beginning of birth pains. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we've had children, our wives have had children, but we were with them. And you're pregnant, you know, for a period of time, But there comes a point in time towards the end of that pregnancy when you're not going to be pregnant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're not carrying this thing. This thing's on the inside. It's going to come out. Mm-hmm. So what happens is she begins to experience contractions and birth. They call birthing pains. And all of a sudden, the uterus starts tightening up and tightening up and tightening, just almost strengthening itself, getting stronger. And the baby's rearranging and dropping its head. And all of a sudden, at first it was like, oh, what was that? Oh, what was that? Was that a war in the Middle East? Oh, you know, it's like, and then it's like, well, I guess this is going to be good. Then all of a sudden we go, oh, right. And it becomes really painful. And, they say, and then, they call the doctor and they're thinking, you know, the doctor's going to come to my rescue, you know. You have to understand my wife's going through pains. And they say, well, how far apart are these pains? And you go, oh, you know, like, I don't know, an hour. And I go, oh. Yeah.
Go back to sleep.
You know, it's like, oh, just, you got plenty of time. Just, you know, maybe next week sometime. Next week!
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the beginning of birthing pains. You feel like this must be now because I'm hurting. There's pain. There's death. There's mayhem. There's destruction. Nation fight against nation. All these things are happening. He's saying they're legitimate precursors to what's going to be coming, which is his coming. And so it's not that, hey, he's not going to come. It's the fact these things are going to be happening, and they're going to get closer and closer and closer. And what they're waiting for, the doctor's waiting for those pains to get so close that they know that the birthing is really soon. And it gets the more pain, the closer you get, the more pain, the more trouble, the more all the things that we'll see. And he's comparing the earth just like that to his coming. And people won't get along even more as things progress. And so, but then she pushes through. She finally shows up at the hospital, and it's still not yet, because it's just them. The baby is still in hiding. The baby is still in the womb, but he's making himself known. This child knows that he'll soon be out. And then suddenly, the doctor just begins to say, push. And it, almost against it, the earth's will, right? Almost against the woman's will. But yet the pain is so bad, maybe this will stop. And just somehow in this seemingly tragic moment of pain,
yeah,
the baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain is subsiding. And the joy of this child being born comes in the full room, and everybody's just, it almost is like almost, and understand, he's saying, listen, this is nothing but the beginning of birthing pains. And they're going to get closer and closer. And we come back from this break, we're going to talk about, you know, what's going to happen. What are some of the things that are going to happen and progress that Jesus talked about as a sign of his coming? Because we want to be able to be ready and not be claiming we're having Braxton contractions, you know, false contractions for coming of the Lord. Is this the moment? Is this the real? Are we in real labor for the coming of our Lord? So Jesus is talking to his disciples because they're asking, you know, what is it going to be like when you're going to come back? You know, because you're going to come back, and I'm looking at Matthew chapter 24 talking about it. They're sitting on the Mount of Olives. We already covered some of the things. Those things are happening now. Mm-hmm. He says, don't rest the birthing pains. These things must come to pass. Relax a little bit. Don't be alarmed. Now this is the alarming part. Verse 9. And he says, these battles between kingdoms and nations are going on. False people are popping up saying they're Jesus. You know, they're the Messiah. They're the whatever, the Savior. Then he says, but then you'll be handed over to be persecuted. You'll be handed over to be persecuted. This is what's happening right now to the church across the world, mind you. Right now, Christians are the most persecuted faith in the world. But right now, it's on a huge, intense increase. And I got to be frank with you. It doesn't look like our government's that concerned about it at all.
Mm-mm.
At all. While Christians are being crucified, beheaded, forced into slavery, ran out of their country, we're not even talking about it. We're talking more about Islam and befriending the Muslims and other faiths. And it's like
defending negative stereotypes.
Yeah, defending negative stereotypes. But the thing is, it's like, that's called persecution, just so you know that. So Jesus said, But then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. If you would have joined us, you would have seen, last week you would have seen there's Christians being crucified, nailed to a cross in Iraq. It's happening all over the place. And then he says, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. This is a big issue with a lot of folks. They just want to be loved by everybody. They want to be accepted by everybody. And it gets you in a big mess, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't, you know, it's not going to work. And if you have, you're not going to be able to walk with God if you want Satan to love you. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just not going to work. If you have somebody walking in darkness and you're trying to get their approval because that actually fulfills something inside of you, you lose the approval of God when you go for Lucifer's approval. You have to understand. And if you haven't yet heard, you know, organizers of the night versus organizers of the day, I talked about a dream that God gave me, a prophetic dream, talking about how, you know, much the church is trying to serve darkness and light. And it was very detailed. And it's demonic, and you got to make up your mind who you're going to serve. And so what we're seeing take place right now on our VFN TV, when you're seeing it across your television screens, this is a sign of his coming. He says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. What's that mean? That means even the very nation you're in, a church in America, you're trying to integrate yourself so much with the American flag, you're leaving the Bible behind. Yeah. Like one of the leaders in the Baptist denomination, I can't know which one it is, but it's one of the bigger ones. He said, we've been selling people on America and just giving them Jesus.
Mm.
Wow. And he said, we got to repent of that because they're supposed to be preaching the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just beautiful. You know, a couple of years ago, he said that. And that's what's been happening. What you have to understand is persecution is not going to make sense to you if you don't understand. You're trying to be a good American and you leave. You know, it's like, you know, some of these candidates you hear them talking, you ask them, who is Jesus to you? They're at that point when somebody asks you, who is Jesus to you? They're seeing whose kingdom are you willing? Are you willing to give up God's kingdom for to be part of the kingdom of America? That's what's happening at that point. But the unique thing about America is that you can keep the kingdom of God in you. You can be loyal to Jesus Christ. There's a First Amendment that says they're going to make no laws and they cannot persecute you based on your religion. And if you just pipe up and understand that we can keep this thing mm-hmm. called America. But Jesus, it's one nation under God. God first, America second. Kingdom first, America second. You know, that's how it happened. It's a byproduct of people who got in the Word, met God of the Word, and began to look for a place to worship this God that they met. And so, you know, you're going to be hated. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, which blows a lot of doctrine out of the water, which means they were walking in faith. They were walking just like Simon was walking when he believed and he was baptized. But then all of a sudden he had pride and selfish gain and idolatry come up, and he wanted to buy this power of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a different path. He turned away from the faith. But over and over again, it talks about, he says, Jesus, just so you know, the people that are preaching about Jesus, Jesus, what Jesus said. Jesus said, many people are going to leave me because of the persecution, because of the cost, because of the price. He says, at this time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. And he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will go cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel, think about it. This is Jesus. When are you going to come back? And this gospel, what I just said, what I've been saying in the last two programs about who is Jesus to you. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. How can we hasten his coming? Get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to not give people a reason to hate you, but just love God, do what's right, love them, and it'll just happen naturally. And be willing to be hated for the cause of loving them. Be willing to be humiliated for the very sake of the one who's humiliating you. That's how you know. I mean, you're willing to. That's what happened to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, here he was, all God. You think about it, all man, did nothing wrong, but he was willing to be humiliated, to be nailed to a cross, to take on the sin of the world. And if we'll understand that, we'll be just like Paul, and Paul was standing before the king in double chains, mind you, for something he didn't do. And he said, you know, king, I wish you were just like me, except for these chains. Persecution didn't bother him. Mm. He was trying to win this king to the Lord. He was trying to win this political leader to the Lord. He just wanted them to know Jesus and Jesus, them to be saved. This is where we're going to have to rise up to the occasion. It's time for us to stand up and be counted, not hide, hit out, where nobody can actually count us as a follower of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We have to understand what we're seeing happen in the earth today, right now, this very moment, is birthing pains. And guess what? They're going to continue. They're going to increase. They're going to get closer. And you're going to be pressured. Are you going to stick with God? Are you going to stay? Are you going to stand, even when it stinks, and continue to the love of God and preaching the gospel of God, that men might be saved? I encourage you, continue sticking with VFN TV, the daily radio program, because we're going to encourage you by God's grace on a daily basis to walk this walk out. We can do this thing with Christ who strengthens us. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.